Luke chapter 24, verse 27 and verse 44. This is the reading of God's word. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Go down to verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that that you will work in us through your Spirit, that he will give us understanding, that he will give us faith, and he will give us that desire to obey your word. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with him. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly and all of us will rejoice hearing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory, God. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's sermon is mostly a review for us, but I thought verse 27 and verse 44 is very, very important. So we're gonna stick around here and study this important teaching. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Let me read that to you again. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And verse 44, one more time. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." From these two verses, we learn how we are to understand the Bible. Jesus Christ tells us what the Bible teaches us. He tells us what is the content of the whole Bible is all about. Verse 27, the phrase beginning with Moses and with all the prophets. Well, we believe the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, are called the Pentateuch, and sometimes it is called the five books of Moses, which means they are written by Moses. This is what we believe. And all the books of the Old Testament are written by the prophets of God. Thus, the phrase beginning with Moses and all the prophets, it refers to the whole Old Testament. Thus, you will see another phrase, same verse, says in all the scriptures. The whole Old Testament is, according to verse 27, thus, according to Jesus, the whole Old Testament is concerning himself, concerning Jesus Christ. And if we go to verse 44, it says the same thing. In the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, the phrase, the law of Moses, this phrase could refer to first 10 commandments or all the laws that God has given to Moses and Israelites. Somebody actually counted all those laws and they say there's 613 laws. I never counted, so I'm not 100% sure, but This is well-known fact. 613 laws. Or that phrase can refer to the whole five books of Moses. And the prophet, we saw the same thing already in verse 27. And the Psalms represent all the writings in the Old Testament. Thus the phrase, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms also refer to the whole Old Testament. And according to verse 44, the whole Old Testament is written about Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus tells us himself. Thus the Old Testament is all concerning Jesus Christ, and all is written about Jesus Christ according to those two verses. And this is how we are to understand, not just parts, but the whole Bible is concerning Jesus Christ, and it is written about Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we are looking at the Old Testament and understanding the Old Testament incorrectly, not according to what Bible is teaching. Actually, there are many other verses that tell us that the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Let me read to you a few. Acts chapter 22, verse 22. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said. Meaning Old Testament said, was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he will be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So Paul is saying, hey, you know, I've been preaching what the prophets and Moses said. Meaning, I've been preaching the Bible, but it was all about Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And because of what he has done and accomplished, the gospel will be preached both to Jews and Gentiles. So again, the prophets and Moses, what they said is all about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 28, verse 23, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him and his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. The same phrase, the law of Moses and the prophets, but Paul was persuading them concerning Jesus from the whole Bible. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says this, you search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these, meaning scriptures, that testify about me. The scriptures testify about Jesus Christ. So in the five books of Moses, Moses wrote about Jesus Christ. This is what we find. John chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. So when you are reading first five books of Moses, you are to see Jesus Christ in them. Because if you're not, then you're not looking at it right. Because Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. Luke chapter 18, verse 31, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. As he goes, and what he does is accomplishing what the prophets was said about Son of God, Son of Man. He was referring to himself, Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, the Enoch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? He was probably pointing to Isaiah passage and says, tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. From the Old Testament passage, then, Philip preached Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 through 3, and according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. Paul was teaching, explaining, giving evidence that all the scriptures are talking about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Of him all the prophets bear witness of Jesus Christ. John chapter 12, verse 16. These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. So yeah, the disciples did not fully understand when Jesus was doing these things, but later they understood that actually he was doing what the Old Testament was saying about him when he comes and what he will do. Meaning that Old Testament was talking about Jesus Christ. Like you see, it's not just one place that it says that the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. And when the Bible tells us about what Jesus Christ has done and what happens to him, the Bible tells us them in terms of Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament. Meaning those Old Testament passages were all about him. Thus, New Testament says Jesus is actually fulfilling what was written. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and 23. After he has removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. So God has brought Jesus to us, but it was according to promise that God has made through King David when he said that he's descendant. And all these things that the descendant of David will do. So everything that you read about that portion in the Old Testament, it was actually talking about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 29. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 21. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it is written. And he began to say to them, Jesus was actually reading the Isaiah passage, and he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, because it was about him. And it is he who is actually reading this to them and say, hey, right in front of your eyes, whatever was said in the Old Testament is now being fulfilled. I'm here. As we have seen already, the whole Old Testament is concerning Jesus. It's written about Jesus, and it testifies about Jesus. The whole Bible is the stories of Jesus Christ. Thus, if we do not understand the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ, then the only other option is to learn about the morals of this world. Thus, if we do not understand the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ, then it's all about morals. That's why some teachers will teach you all the morals from the Old Testament. It's about how you are to live. Nothing about Christ and what he has done and accomplished, but it's about morals. But that is not what the Bible is about. Thus, we see many teachers of the Bible even today. Especially when they're teaching Old Testament, they teach morals. Then, once that happens, then all the teachings will focus on works. But if it is by works that we're saved, then no one will be saved. So they're not actually preaching the gospel, they're actually condemning people. Because by works, we will all be condemned. This is how Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. He is saying exactly what we've been saying today. Unless you are reading the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ, it's like veil is covering your eyes and covering your heart, so you will never understand what it is truly telling us. But when you come to Christ, Paul says, then the veil will be lifted up. You will be able to clearly see the truth. But only when you come to Jesus Christ, only when you understand those passages in terms of Jesus Christ. Hear what God is saying to you. Understand what the Bible is saying. Their minds were hardened, meaning that the Holy Spirit does not illumine their hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us understand. John chapter 12, verse 40, He has blinded their eyes and He hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. It is very, very difficult verse to accept. Reason why that God does not open their eyes and open their hearts to truly understand is that if He does that, if He clearly says in the Bible, then they might actually believe. But only the people who God has chosen will believe. That is why the work of the Holy Spirit is necessary. A veil lies over their heart, thus they do not understand. They cannot understand the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ. They only understand in terms of the morals of this world. Thus, their teaching centers on the works principle. And whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Only when the veil is taken away by the Holy Spirit, they will be able to understand the Bible in terms of Jesus Christ, and they will truly be able to see the truth. Very, very important, brothers and sisters. And not all that Jesus has done and accomplished are written in the Bible. Only the things that our God wants us to know are written. And it is by knowing and believing Jesus Christ through that written word of His who will be saved. God did not provide any other way to be saved. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Oh. John chapter 21 verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that will be written. The world will be too small to contain all the books if everything that Jesus has done will be written in detail. Brothers and sisters, I really want to show you how each passage in the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. But to do so will take much more than my lifetime. But I have been preaching over 30 years now. And if you were with me all that time, then you know that all that I have preached so far, those passages were all about Jesus Christ. What He has done and what He has accomplished and who He is. Let me say one more thing. And we will finish this sermon today. You know already that you and I are united to Jesus Christ in all ways. His life is our life, and His death is our death. We are united to Him in His ascension, and His resurrection is our resurrection. And this is what the Bible teaches us. Thus, to say that the whole Bible is all about Jesus Christ is also to say that the whole Bible is about us who are united to Jesus Christ. And you cannot neglect this part. Yes, it is about Jesus Christ. But because of it, it is also about us who are united to Him. That everything that happens to Jesus, you could claim that it happened to you. Everything. Except you will never be God. He is God. Will never be God. Other than that, you read about everything that happened to Jesus Christ, you could claim that happened to you. Jesus, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. What do you mean he was crucified with Christ? He wasn't even there when Jesus was crucified. And yet he says it as if he was right there dying with Christ. He's not lying. Because he was united to Christ. When Jesus was dying, Paul was actually dying with him. We weren't even born. And yet we are able to say, I have crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Because of this union. So it is very important, if we say it is about Christ, then it is about us. The only way that you could truly know yourself is that you understand the Bible, meaning that you understand Jesus Christ. Then you will know what has actually happened to you. Even though all those things that happen to us, it's not visible. Let me give you some examples before I finish. Okay. Everything about Jesus Christ, the perfect man Jesus Christ, is also about who we are in Him and united to Him. We could go any part of the whole Bible to show this point, but let us look at the familiar story of Exodus. In the Old Testament, the Israelites come out of Egypt. Everybody knows that. But the story of Exodus is also about Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Let me read to you. Now when they have gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. Then it says, this was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Now, we read about Jesus Christ. King Herod wanted to kill him. So, God sends angel, say, hey, flee to Egypt. Stay there until Herod dies. And Herod dies, so they come out of Egypt. But Matthew says what? Matthew says this happened to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Matthew tells us that Jesus coming out of Egypt after the death of King Herod is to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet, and that prophet is the prophet Hosea. If you go to Hosea 11 verse 1, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Obviously, Hosea was talking about the Old Testament Israelites who came out of Egypt. The Old Testament Israelites were called God's son in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So we know that the story of God calling his son out of Egypt, told by the prophet Hosea, is about Exodus of Israelites in the Old Testament. But look at what Matthew does. Matthew tells us that Hosea was actually talking about Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we're not making this up. Just follow what the Bible says. Yes, the Old Testament Exodus story is, as we have been saying all along, pointing to the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also in the Bible, Egypt is a symbol of this world. Revelation 11 verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. In Revelation 11, it is about death of the church. The two witnesses, the symbol of the church, the world kills them. And here, they die. But it says, the place they die is also the place the Lord was killed. And he says that place is mystically called Egypt. We know that Jesus did not die in Egypt. So Egypt is a symbol of the world. Thus, you and I have also come out of Egypt. We have come out of this world and we are delivered into heaven, the kingdom of God, the true promised land. So the Exodus is not only it is referring to what happens to Jesus, but it's also our story. We have also come out of Egypt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, we read about the crossing of the Red Sea by the Israelites. There he says that the crossing of the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. In Matthew, after Jesus comes out of Egypt in chapter 2, what happens to him in chapter 3? He is baptized. Thus, because it points to Jesus, it is also our story. We, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have been saved. We have been recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning we have come out of sin and out of this world. In terms of the Old Testament language, when we're saved by baptism of the Holy Spirit, you and I have also crossed the Red Sea, because crossing the Red Sea was a symbol of baptism. It is our story. You could go out and say, I have crossed the Red Sea. You did. Because you came out of Egypt, which was pointing to this world. You came out of this world and you crossed the Red Sea. It is your story. Chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus goes to the wilderness. Just like the Old Testament people, they come out of Egypt, they were crossing the Red Sea, meaning baptism, then they were living in the wilderness. Jesus does the same. He comes out of Egypt. Chapter 3 of Matthew, he is baptized. And chapter 4, he goes to wilderness to be tested. Temptation by Satan. This is not just happening randomly. Jesus is living out the same life that the Old Testament Israel lived. But he does that perfectly, unlike the Israel. But that is also our life in Jesus Christ. We came out of Egypt, we crossed the Red Sea, and we are living in the wilderness until we go to heaven. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 actually describes our life here on earth as a wilderness life. You must see this. It's about Christ, so it's also about us. So when you understand the Bible, you will know what has happened to you spiritually and visibly later. This is what the Bible tells us. Man, when I was growing up, I had so much difficult time because my pastor kept telling me the stories of Israel. And I was talking to myself, why do I need to learn Israel's history? I mean, I don't hate Jews, but I like them as much as any other ethnic groups. But why Israel? But I realize it's actually talking about me. It's my story. Well, if it is my story, I want to learn. But if it is just story of Israel, I don't care. So what? If that's so. You know, we read about God making promise to Abraham and his descendant to bless the Jews. Because promise was Abraham and his descendant. So it puzzled me so much in the beginning. Because Abraham and descendant is Jews. So what does that got to do with me? Why am I so happy reading about it? Because God just blessed Jews. So what? What about me? So my hands go up all the time. What is this? Why are you telling us this story? But it is talking about Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So when God was making promise to Abraham and his seed, he was actually making promise to Abraham and to Jesus Christ. And if a promise is to Jesus Christ, and I'm united to Jesus Christ, then it is also promised to me. And that's exactly what Galatians 3:29 says. And if you belong to Christ, and I say, yeah, I belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Do you understand? Because if you take literally Abraham and his descendant, then it means Jews. The American Korean, myself, is left out. And all I was told to learn from that story is to be like Abraham, be like them. It has nothing to do with what I already received, what God has already done for me, but just to be like them. I could never be like them. That's why it wasn't good news. It was actually frustrating news. But it's about Christ. And because it is about Christ, I'm united to Christ, so it is about me. So when I read stories about God making promise to Abraham, man, I'm so excited because he's making promise to me. That is why when I read further, and there's a story when Abraham is almost to kill his son Isaac, and I say, stop! Because it matters to me now. Because if Isaac dies, then Christ, how could he come? And if he doesn't come, then the promise that was made to me, what happens to that? So I'm intimately involved in that story. It's my story. So I say, don't kill him, because he affects me. You have to read the Bible exactly according to what God intended. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The Old Testament Israelites were a type of true Israel, Jesus Christ, and who are united to Christ. We are the Jews, spiritually speaking. Ethnically speaking, yeah, American Korean, or American Vietnamese, American Mexican. But spiritually, we are Jews. I'm not making this up. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and verse 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Verse 30, 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. The outwardly Jew, when you look at someone, definitely you could tell Jew. He is not true Jew here. He is not a Jew who is out, who is one outwardly. It's clearly written here. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. It's talking about us who believe in Jesus Christ. Because the true Jew is actually Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is your story. Every one of them. Listen to my old sermon. We went through the book of Exodus. We almost preached 100 times. And it was all about Jesus Christ, and because of it, it was about us. Otherwise, some of us, people who look like me, living in the United States or living anywhere, and I never felt like that, but you know, I hear from people, they're treated as second citizen. But if you understand Bible wrong way, not only you're second citizen in this world, but you will be second citizen in heaven. What is that? No. I don't care who you are. If you believe in Christ, you're not second citizen in heaven. You are the true Son of God and the true Son, Jesus Christ. This is why we don't care if I'm treated. I don't really care if I'm treated as second citizen, third citizen, fourth citizen, even 100th citizen. I don't care because I know who I am in heaven. And that's what dominates me. Brothers and sisters, God truly, truly loves you. He loves you as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. That's what John 17 tells us. You are the true Jew. The citizens of true kingdom of God, which is heaven. Rejoice and live with that joy no matter what happens in this world. Because it's all about how God sees us, how he treats us. I don't care what other people treat me. Why do we care? If God is with us, God is for us, then who is against us? Whoever it might be, it really doesn't matter. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Truly amazing grace. That in Christ, there's no Jews or Gentiles. There's no man or woman. There's no difference between rich or poor. All these earthly divisions doesn't matter in Jesus Christ. We are all one. We are your sons. We are the citizens of your kingdom, heaven. And we are the eternal, blameless, holy bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you and give you all the glory, honor, and power. Everything that you have done for us is truly way, way more. Way, way more than give us that perfect satisfaction. And we find that perfect satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And we thank you. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.